Okay, thank you to the Litwins again for sponsoring this morning's shiur. We appreciate it. Still no eggs. So you'll have to keep sponsoring until we have eggs. That's going to be the end of it. So it was just a smart idea, by the way. Keep pushing off the eggs. You'll keep getting a sponsorship. I don't know.
I'll speak to them.
You have to speak to them. Okay. In our kol, our month of Adar, the whole month is sponsored by Eitan Yosef, Leah, and Ora Melamed in honor of Sophie Melamed. We appreciate that. And our week of learning this week is sponsored by Nick and Alana Jerkowitz in honor and appreciation of Rabbi Willie Kluger, who is a Chashava Avreich in our Kolel. In our Kolel Baruch Hashem, which is on the Pico side of things here, we have eight families in Kanahara, six of them Avreichim, who are learning full-time. The other two are also learning full-time, but they're more Hanhala. So the six Avreichim who are learning full-time, we learn all day from 9 o'clock in the morning till 6 o'clock at night. Then we come back 8 to 9:30 at night for Night Seder. Night Seder is a time where Balabatim, community members, are able to come and participate in learning. So Nick is one of the fortunate Balabatim who gets to learn with Rabbi Kluger. And I guess he's appreciative. So he sponsored the Week of Learning, which we appreciate as well. And it's a good opportunity to let you know that anytime you want to check our schedule, if you go in that WhatsApp group you have on the top of your page, you can scan it with your camera, or you can go yukollla.com/WhatsApp. You can get into our group, see the updates. You'll see what the schedule is in terms of night programming. We have Chaburas every night of the week. We have Shirim every night of the week. There's really, Baruch Hashem, Blei Anhar, a lot going on, and you should feel free to take advantage. I saw the flyer, the newsletter here. Doesn't seem like you need to come to us to take advantage. You have so much going on over here, but if there's ever a night, you're bored, so there's always an opportunity by us as well. What you find on the page today is a little bit different than usual. Anyone know why? What sefer do we usually use? We usually use the sefer Har Tzvi, the Tshuva sefer, the response of by Rotzi Pesach Frink. And we are continuing to talk about Rotzi Pesach Frank, the person, but we're using a different sefer this time. If you look on the page, you'll see it's from a sefer called Mikrai Kodesh. Mikrai Kodesh is a sefer also from the same author, from Rotzi Pesach Frank. It's also related to Halacha. It's not, strictly speaking, tshuvas. It's not responsa that he wrote in answering questions. Rather, it's Divrei Torah, sometimes more lamdish, Divrei Torah, usually pretty short, relatively short Divrei Torah, about the Mo'adim. He has one on Shabbos, but also about the Mo'adim, about the Yom Tovim. So being that this is our last shiur right up until Purim, Purim's in, a week and a half or something, so I figure we'll spend some time today, B'li Neder Mitzvah Hashem, talking about some Purim topics. And in Mikrai Kodesh, Rotzi Pesach Frank has some beautiful short pieces. If you want Makoros sheets and you didn't get there, on the last table in the back, there are still some extra. So we figure we'll talk about a few short pieces and try to connect them by Rotzi Pesach Frank about the mitzvos of Mishloach Manos and Matanos Lavyonim on Purim. Of course, we have Mitzvos Hayom of reading Megillah, which take place not only at night, but also during the day. And then we have the mitzvah of Sudas Purim, that a person has to eat a Sudas Purim, including drinking a certain amount of wine to reach a stage of Ad Lo Yada, depending on your definition of Ad Lo Yada. In my house, we're very machmir on this, but other people have kulas. So there's a drinking and eating a Suda of Purim. There's also the mitzvahs of Ahava V'Reyes, of Mishloach Manos, of spreading joy and cheer to friends and family by passing along gifts. You have to give two types of food to one friend, and you have to pass along Matanos Lavyonim, give tzedakah, special mitzvah of tzedakah, on the day of Purim. But what we're going to discuss today, B'li Neder Mitzvah Hashem, is how exactly to define those two mitzvahs of Mishloach Manos, and how to define the mitzvah of Matanos Lavyonim. Is it a regular mitzvah of tzedakah, the latter, and Mishloach Manos? Who's the sholeach, and who are the recipients? Does it matter, la halacha, who is giving and who is given to? Some interesting halachas that come out of the lamdas, of the root of the mitzvah of Mishloach Manos. So if you look in the first source over here, you'll find Mikrai Kodesh Simen Mem Vav 46, where Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank discusses the following question. Nistapakti, he says, I wonder, im hanimtza bedrachim yotzei dechovah b'mishloach manos shebnei beso sholchem b'shvilo. Let's say a person is found bedrachim. What does bedrachim mean? He's traveling. Now, the truth is, in modern times, most of Purim people are traveling, no? You have to drive for 5 hours just to give your kids Shalach Manos to the friend they've never spoken to before and the Rebbe they never had. All across town, you have to drive all day. So really, people are on the road. You're in a different time zone, most of Purim. Okay, but he doesn't mean that. He means someone's literally traveling. They're out on business in Hong Kong or something. They're not really going to be with any Jews during Purim. And they're not going to have a chance to give Shalach Manos on their own. So the question is, let's say you're out and your family is home, and they're able to entertain guests, and they're able to receive people at the door, and they want to give Mishloach Manos on your behalf. Will that work? Does that work? Is that okay? Now, before we even get into the answer to this question, which it seems pretty simple, the Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank quotes from the Aruch HaShulchan, before we get there, we have to clarify what exactly we're not talking about. We're not talking about the case of shlichus. Shlichus means agency, which means that in halacha, generally speaking, a person is allowed to appoint an agent to do a mitzvah on their behalf. So for example, if I wanted to get married, to get engaged, I don't. I'm already married, Baruch Hashem. But imagine I did. So I could take a ring, I could take a couple of dollars, I can give it to a woman and say, Harei Mekudeshesli, you're my wife now. That's Kiddushin. However, I don't want to go. It's a little bit annoying to go travel to find a girl that I want to marry. So instead, I'll send a friend. This is a very romantic way to do it, by the way. It's similar to Shidduchim, very similar. So you want to send a friend to go ahead and be Mekadesh for you. So you say, can you please go and be Mekadesh this one for me? Here's a dollar bill. Here's a ring. Go ahead and do so for me. That's okay. You're allowed to be Mekadesh al yidei shliach. And a lot of mitzvahs are that way. Not all mitzvahs are that way. For example, you cannot say, I'm really tired in the morning. It's really hard to get up. Do you mind tomorrow morning having me mind? You'll put on some tefillin for me. That's not okay. Because that's a mitzvah begufo. That's a mitzvah on your own body. It's a peladik shaila I got. The shaila is not what we're about to discuss. The shaila is, I'll tell you the shaila later, Rabbi, you'll probably appreciate it. But the shaila was very chamer. But part of the shaila that was assumed was unbelievable. Somebody asked me that he's a baal tshuva. We're all baal tshuva, but he's a baal tshuva in the sense that he really has zero exposure until now to Yiddishkeit. And he's growing tremendously and very quickly, which in this case seems, you know, healthy and beautiful. He wants to observe Hilchos Nida, which is important. We should observe Hilchos Nida, Taras Mishpacha. His wife is not there. His wife is not ready yet. And his wife has fears of the mikvah. She is not interested in going to the mikvah. She's never been exposed to the mikvah. It's not like she's pushing off some mitzvah she was told about. This is a foreign concept to her. So he told me that for now, what he does is that he goes to the mikvah every day because he's into Kabbalah, he's into Chassidus. So he goes to the mikvah every day. So he has his wife in mind that he should be Mekayim in the mikvah for her. Unbelievable. So that I don't think he thinks literally it works, al pi halacha, but we obviously do not have such a concept of halacha. If there's a guf, if there's a body that needs to do a mitzvah, you can't do it al yidei shliach. That doesn't work. Okay, but the regular mitzvah, you know, sending to Mekadesh or some other mitzvah, you could do al yidei shliach, you could do it with an agent, with someone doing it on your behalf. So what about Mishloach Manos? Can you appoint an agent to do Mishloach Manos for you? Can I say, please go give my gift to someone else on my behalf? So it's an open and shut case. It's a Gemara in Megillah and Daf Zayin. The Gemara has cases, multiple cases, where you see some of the Amoraim would give Mishloach Manos to each other through their friends. So they would tell their friends to pass along the Mishloach Manos. It's open and shut. It's easy. What's interesting is that it gets flipped on its head. The Achronim, most famously the Binyan Sion, Rabbi Yaakov Etlinger, the Binyan Sion and Simon Nundalid, Rabbi Yaakov Etlinger says that really not only is it okay to do Mishloach Manos Ayidei Shliach, that you're allowed to use an agent and say, here, pass along my Mishloach Manos to somebody else. But in fact, you have to do so. You have to do so. Why would that be? Why would Mishloach Manos need agency, need someone to be a Shliach on your behalf? Anything hint towards that? So I did mention to you the Gemara in Megillah Daf Zayin says cases where the Amoraim did that, but that doesn't prove to you it has to be that way. So Yaakov Etlinger, along with some others, assume that the reason is because the Pasuk says a very funny lashon. No, the Pasuk says, Mishloach manos ish lireyehu, that you have to give presents to your friends. Each person has to give to one friend. Mishloach manos, it has to be sent. Nisinas manos. A matana is nisina. You give a matana. Why mishloach? Why are we talking about sending? So some of the Achronim say that the reason it says mishloach manos is apparently because it means you have to do it through shlichus. You have to do it through agency. That word, shaloach, shlichus, lishloach, comes from the same root, and it means we have to send it, al yidei shliach, through an agent, to your friend. So that's a very interesting chumra. Yaakov Etlinger came up with the Chassam Sofer, seems to assume this as well as in a chidushim to Gittin. We'll get back to it in a second, Bli Neder. But that is a chumra in the Achronim that they talk about. If one is sending al yidei shliach, just to note, it doesn't need all the dinim of shlichus, all of the regular halachos, the details of shlichus, of agency. Usually we say that in halacha, you could have a shliach only if it's a Jewish agent. You can't have a non-Jew be your agent to do a mitzvah. There may be exceptions to this lahalacha. When we say lechumra stringently, we do assume that a guy can be a shliach. For example, Rashi, at least in one place or two places in Shas, says that the iser of amir la'akum, we spoke very briefly, we referenced it 2 weeks ago, the issue of telling a non-Jew to do your bidding on Shabbos, you can't do borer, you can't turn on lights, you can't light a fire or put out a fire. Are you allowed to tell a non-Jew to do that for you? Of course not. That's amir la'akum, amir la'nach. You can't tell a non-Jew to do a malacha on your behalf. Why not? So Rashi, in one place, says that the reason is because the Pasuk says, Daber Davar, that on Shabbos you're supposed to guard yourself, Mimso Chavtecha V'Daber Davar, that you're not allowed to talk about Malacha on Shabbos. If you tell a non-Jew to do a Malacha for you on Shabbos, what are you doing? You're talking about Malacha, so that's not allowed. The other option, which is also Rashi in Avodah Zarah and Maseches Shabbos, I think maybe in Bamitzi has like this as well, Rashi assumes that the reason is because you're making the non-Jew your agent, your shliach. You're not doing the malacha, but your agent is doing the malacha on your behalf. Shulchol shaladam kamoso, it's as if you are doing it. That's problematic, because we assume you can't make a non-Jew an agent. So here the Rishonim say that we assume, maybe lechumra, stringently we assume a guy can be an agent, but not lekula, not in terms of a leniency. So generally speaking, you can't appoint a guy to do accomplish a mitzvah for you as your shliach. Here, however, the Chassam Sofer says in his Chidushim Legitin and other Achronim say this as well, you don't have all the stipulations and all the dinim, all the details of shlichas. If you want to send a gift to your friend on Purim, doing it through a non-Jew potentially, definitely through a katan, and someone who's not usually qualified to be a shliach, that's permissible in this case. In fact, some say that it's even better. Because the more people you involve in the process, the more simcha, the more persumi nisa even, the more exciting and the more loud the show is, doesn't matter who exactly is the shliach, the point is really to involve a crowd in the mitzvah, so it's permissible regardless of who it might be. So that's what the Binyan Sion says. The Binyan Sion says you have to send al yedei shliach. You have to send through an agent. That's a very strange chumra. The Mishnah Berurah does quote it la'alacha. He does quote it la'alacha. The Mishnah Berurah says the Binyan Sion was mistapik about this. He was misupak. He wasn't sure, but maybe it's a good chumra. All the Achronim call the Mishnah Berurah to task, though, because he quotes, but he only quotes half of the Binyan Sion. If you read the rest of the Tshuva, the Binyan Sion says, I think this is a good chumrah. It makes sense to me that you should have to send it through an agent, that you shouldn't give the mishloach manos directly, rather you should have a friend be the middleman in terms of sending the mishloach manos. And then the Binyan Sion says, but I looked in the svarim and nobody said this until me. If I invented it, no one said it before me, and I don't really have a clear-cut proof to it, it's a nice drasha in the pasuk, it's a nice diuk in the Gemara and Maseches Megillah and Daf Zayin, but it can't necessarily be halacha l'maisa. So the Binyan Sion himself says that it's lichora, he says, it seems to him to be a chumrah, a good idea, mutav, it's a good idea to send mishloach manos through a shliach, but it's not something you have to do in your yotzei, even if you don't do that, which is way most of the poskim assume. Some of the contemporary poskim, Rav Moshe Sternbach, they recommend the chumrah. Rav Shlomo Zalman and Auerbach apparently did the chumrah himself. So some say, if you're giving 100 mishloach manos anyways over the course of Purim, so maybe one of them you give to a friend. Okay, we had the zchus of having Rav Sabalovsky Shlita in the one of the Rashi Shiva in YU in the kol on Thursday night. So he delivered a shiur first on Hilchos Nida to a group of 35 men who are learning the topic, and then he gave a shiur on Hilchos Purim, which was more open to the more general community. Like 50 people were at that one. So he said during the course of that shiur, he mentioned this Binyan Sion, and he said how in his shul, you know, his people who are in his shul know about the chumrah, so they all like to do the chumrah on Purim morning. But it turns into what he called the yeshivish chumrah, meaning there's no shlichus. What happens is you have three guys standing 2 feet away from each other, and one guy says, "Hey, can you give this to the guy 2 feet away from you?" There's no sending it across town. There's no real shlichus. They do it in a cute way, okay, but it's a nice chumrah, and it keeps the Torah of the Binyan Sion alive, so it's a nice thing. Yeah.
Does a shliach get a mitzvah?
Interesting. No, he's not doing it on his own behalf. He's doing it in terms of mishloach manos.
Yeah.
Interesting. He is accomplishing, you know, spreading the joy and the cheer of Yom Tiv. It's interesting, but I assume not. I assume he has to give of his own as well. Yeah. So anyways, that's all background to what the Rav Tzipa Zafrank is not talking about here. Rav Tzipa Zafrank here is talking about something else entirely. Here he's talking about a case in which the Baal HaBayis is totally checked out. He's out on business in some other state. He's not there. He's not available to give it to a shliach, to give to a friend. He's out of town, and his family members want to give mishloach manos on behalf. Will that work for his kiyum of mishloach manos?
Can he just order it online? I mean, today?
Yeah, for sure. Potentially you could do such a thing. For sure. For sure. As long as the timing is right, as long as the right, you know, the right amount of foods are sent, etc. Yes, you could do such a thing. Yeah,
but you only have to do one.
You only have to do one with two
can,
with
you
two foods.
Yourself. You can go yourself to do.
For sure, absolutely.
It's only one that you have to do through a shliach. That's what you're saying.
Even through the shliach, you don't have to do. It's a cute chumrah, but yes, it would only have to be one. Correct. You don't have to do one. Yeah, exactly. So the Aruch HaShulchan here says, no, you're not yotzei in this case if your people in your home are doing it on your behalf without you being there. Why not? So if you just look in the bold over here in the first paragraph, he says, Ve'ino mo'il mashav be'esel nosen b'shvilo. It doesn't work if in your house they're giving on your behalf. Ve'efshev dima matanos levyonim yatsa, maybe for matanos levyonim your yotze, we'll come back to that, b'li neder. Al b'shiluach manos, shelo b'fana vaday delav klumhu. It's no good, doesn't work. Why not? So Rav Tzipa Zafrank here says the reason is as follows. He says that the whole point of mishloach manos, the whole point of giving shalach manos to our friends on Yom Tov, on Purim, is what? To increase the joy and the friendship and the love between all the Jewish people. So on a day, especially given the fact that the Pesukim tell us that we were an Am Mefuzar and Am Mefurad, we were spread out, we weren't so unified before the story of Purim. In fact, that's probably part of the reason why the decree was set against us. We have to have more achdus. We have to be more together. So on Purim, we focus on bringing ourselves together through mitzvahs like mishloach manos. We give gifts to each other. It makes us, be more friendly with each other. And we're mekayim the mitzvah and also bring our community together more. The post can talk about a question whether you should not, or can give mishloach manos to someone who you dislike. Meaning you could have thought that if the whole reason to increase ahava, then it makes sense to give it to someone you don't like. Right, I remember someone did this to me once. I was the guy that he didn't like. I remember when I remember very, very clearly. He was doesn't matter the details. There was a sichsuch. He was upset at me over something. This was already 10 years ago. This was 10 years ago Purim. He was upset at me about something, and on Purim he came to the Purim Suda and he gave me a mishloach manos package and a sefer. That's another question they have. Can you be mekayim mishloach manos with a sefer? Probably not. You have to get food. But he gave me a sefer and a mishloach manos package. And he said he's very sorry for what he did, and he feels like he doesn't like me. And in order to increase ahava, he wants to start, rebuilding the relationship. So I said, very nice, but you're not yotzi. So he gave me the mishloach manos, and he wrote inside of the sefer a whole note. It's very beautiful. I still have it. If you come, you can look through my svarim. You can try to find which one it is. You'll know who it is. But you'll have trouble. I have enough svarim that'll keep you busy. But he wrote a whole note, trying to add ahava and the reyes to our relationship, and that was a beautiful thing. But the post can talk about whether you should dafka do that to make increased a friendship, or no, you have to give it to a friend. I mean, it has to be someone who there is ahava, there is a joint relationship between, in order to be yotze in the mitzvah. That's a discussion in the poskim. Either way, the reason, the whole root of the mitzvah is that we're supposed to grow relationships, we're supposed to build achdus in Klal Yisrael, and so if a person gives his mishloach manos through an agent, he is doing so. But if he's out of the house and he has nothing to do with it and they just give in his name, he didn't create any relationship. There was no between the two of us. We didn't connect over the mishloach manos. So the Aruch HaShulchan therefore says, that's what Rabbi Pesach Frank is explaining, that's the reason the Aruch HaShulchan says you can't be yotze with mishloach manos that are given on your behalf when you're totally checked out, you're not involved, without you being there at all. Now, here, the Rabbi Pesach Frank notes that he's obviously referring to, and you can see in the second paragraph in the bold, he's obviously referring to a very, very, very famous machlokas at the heart of the mitzvah of mishloach manos. You've never gone a Purim without hearing someone say a Dvar Torah about this machlokas. The Manos Halevi, who we don't really know much about, except for the fact that he wrote Lechadodi. That's the only thing people say about it when they quote the Sefer also. They say, the Manos Halevi, he wrote Lechadodi. Okay, Rav Shlomo Alkavitz. So he has in his Sefer, Manos Halevi, very famously, he argues exactly what Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank just said, which is that a person is commanded, is charged with giving mishloach manos on Purim in order to be marba ahava of Ereis, in order to build those relationships, to make friendship amongst the Jewish people. The Trumas Hadeshen, however, and you have it here in the second paragraph, the Trumas Hadeshen says, no, the reason we give mishloach manos is not really to increase friendship and the relationships, but rather it's to enhance each other's sudas. Uniquely on Purim, I'm commanded to enhance your Suda, and you're commanded to enhance my Suda. So we're all going to have a meal on Purim. We each have a command to help the other person have a more beautiful meal. So I have to give you food for your meal. That's the mitzvah on Purim. There are very famous nafkaminas. Every question you ask about mishloach manos boils down to this machlokas in the Achronim, what the reason for mishloach manos is. Most famously, they ask the question about giving mishloach manos, but the recipient does not agree to receive the gift. You knock on the door, you say, I have brought you mishloach manos, let's say in our case from 10 years ago. He gives me mishloach manos and say, I don't want your mishloach manos. I'm not interested in making up. So I reject it. So on the one hand, he gave me the mishloach manos, which means he was trying to be marba ahava v'reyus. So he did his part in terms of growing the communal bond. But on the other hand, did I use it for my meal? No, because I rejected it. So the Ramah there assumes that you are yotze, which seems to assume like the Manos Halevi, but it's not clear that we always assume like that. But another one, you give Twizzlers and Mike and Ike's for your mishloach manos. So certainly Twizzlers, for sure, for me, if I receive Twizzlers and Mike and Ike's, it helps. But so we're going to make a better relationship, for sure, for sure. Even better is a donation to the Kola, but once we're talking about things. But Twizzlers and Mike and Ike's for sure make me happy. For sure they warm my heart. But am I going to serve Twizzlers and Mike and Ike's in my Suda? Probably not. Probably not. I'm probably going to serve meat and wine and chicken and things like that. So then the question of what you give also will depend on this machlokas, and that's a debate that goes all the way down to the Achronim. Yeah.
Right, that's what I wanted to ask, because nowadays people do like a breakfast as a mishloach manot, like coffee, put like the coffee, put like milchik muffin. That's not something you'll use.
Not something you'll serve at the Suda itself. Right,
that's
right, right, right.
So
according to half of the poskim, yes. According to half of the poskim, no. So here too, we assume, we are making on this generally speaking, the minhag is to give Twizzlers and Mike and Ike's. But that being said, ideally a person would have one person that they give a nice chashuva Suda to. I always did when I was in yeshiva. We always, I always daven Nates Vasikin on Purim morning. And right after davening, I would go with one friend. There was a particular friend when we moved to Eretz Yisrael, but a particular friend we would go every morning to, every Purim morning, we would go right after davening to the bagel store. We'd buy each other's breakfast. So I would buy him a bagel with eggs, and he would buy me a bagel with eggs, or whatever. And we would be mekayem mishloach manos that way. And then you had another friend who you gave a kugel and a cold cuts to. You always have one person you give something special to. And then everyone else in your life, you give them Twizzlers and Mike and Ikes, and that's okay.
Now, one question that came to my mind was, let's say you refuse his offer.
Right.
Is that an Avera?
I don't think it's an Avera. It doesn't seem like the nicest thing to do, but I don't think it's an Avera. I don't know if it's an Avera. Not technically speaking, but... It's not definitely not in the spirit of the day, and definitely not in the spirit of the law, and not in the spirit of Yiddishkeit in general to refuse a... I mean, to refuse a gift is in the spirit of Yiddishkeit. Sonei matanos le yichya, that's what the pasuk says. A person should hate gifts. But on Purim, where we're commanded to give gifts. So then, you know, it makes sense to accept.
Can I ask you, what if someone doesn't have friends?
Yeah, so I saw some of the Achronim say a beautiful thing. They say, how come it is that by matanos le yonim, we have to give to two different people, and by mishloach manos, you only have to give to one person? So he said, because not everyone has multiple friends. Yeah, not everyone has so many friends to give to. Yeah, so, but you know, usually they don't have to have a friend. They just have to have someone. If a person lives on a desert island, I don't know the answer. I mean, they have to do what you said. They'd have to call in. If the desert island has internet, they'd have to, you know, order something to someone somewhere else. But if they have anyone...
If the recipient doesn't have anyone who's going to give to him...
Oh, anyone's going to give, then that's not his, that's nothing on him. His mitzvah is to give, not to receive. Mm-hmm. If he happens to receive, great. If not, not. In the footnotes here in Mikrai Kodesh, so Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank is the Mikrai Kodesh. The footnotes are called Hari Kodesh. Hari Kodesh was written by a person named Rabbi Yosef Kohn. Rabbi Yosef Kohn also wrote a famous Sefer, Sefer HaTshuva. Amazing Sefer on Hilchos Tshuva of the Rambam. Good for Yom Narayim time. He was a grandson of the Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank. So he wrote the footnotes Hari Kodesh. He also arranged really all of the writings. He was responsible for all those things. So he quotes there a famous Tshuva of the Chassav Sefer. The Chassav Sefer, the son of the Chassam Sefer, has a question about the following. Let's say I sent Mishloach Manos to a friend, but I did it anonymously. I didn't do it with my name attached. She doesn't know who sent it. So I don't know. Like on Xmas, they have, you know, Secret Santa. On Hanukkah, we have Mystery Maccabee. So on Purim, we would have, I don't know, Anonymous Achashverosh. I don't know. I guess Mystery Mordechai could work, but fine. Hidden Haman. So we have Hidden Haman or Anonymous Achashverosh, and you give your Mishloach Manos without saying who it was. So are you Yotzei Mishloach Manos that way? So the Ksav Sefer says, maybe not. Maybe not. Why not? Because how could you enhance any relationship if the person doesn't know who you are? Now, this is practically not going to happen. It could happen if you drop it off at someone's door and you didn't put your name on it and they weren't home. But again, you're giving to 100 people during Purim. You'll probably get someone who knows who you are. But it could also happen, Rabbi Nasha Klein has a tshuva about this in his Sefer Mishnah Alachos. What if you give Mishloach Manos too late in the Suda and the person who's there has already been Mekayim the Mitzvah Ad Lo Yada? And he has no idea Mordechai, Haman, or you. He doesn't know anyone. He's so drunk. He has no clue. And then you say, here, I wanted to give you Mishloach Manos. He says, you know, thank you so much. And he has no idea who gave it to him. And the later he wakes up, he sees he has Mishloach Manos. Did you enhance the relationship? Did you add anything to your relationship? No, not really. So because of that, the Ksav Sofer thinks that if it's anonymous, if it's given without any name attached, and the person has no idea who the sender was, then the recipient can't appreciate that, and the relationship can't grow. So maybe that would ruin the kiyum of the mitzvah as well. And again, it's similar to our case, where basically the guy is so detached in the process, he's out of town, and the B'nai Beis, so the people in his home, are sending on his behalf without shlichus, but just sending on his behalf. So that's not going to suffice, according to Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank. And his grandson compares that to what the Ksav Sofer talked about in terms of the anonymous Mishloach Manos as well. Okay, that's the first halacha that we want to talk about. Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank has over here. If you go to the next Simon Mem Zayin, it's the second section on this page. So he has another discussion. You know, before now, the last 20 minutes, we've been discussing the word Mishloach. Mishloach, does that mean shlichus? Mishloach, who's the sender? Does the sender have to be known? Mishloach Manos. Now let's move to the next words in the pasuk. Mishloach Manos ish l're'ehu. That a person has to send to re'ehu. What does that mean, re'ehu? Re'ehu means his friend, right? A re'ya means a friend. V'hafta l're'acha kamocha. Re'ya means friend. So ish l're'ehu, a person must send to his friend. So we've discussed now who the sender is. Let's talk for a second who the recipient has to be. Is there any specific definition of re'ehu that we have to go by? Is anyone excluded from re'ehu that you cannot be in fulfillment of your mitzvah of Mishloach Manos if you give it to them? So if you look, Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank here in the bold, I'm sorry? Katan, good. V'ulai katan lam b'chal re'ehu. Maybe, says Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank, he should have had an easier name, no? I don't know why they named him that. So says Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank, maybe you could say that a katan is not re'ehu. He's not the bechlal mitzvos. He's 10 years old. He's 8 years old. He's not really old enough to be part of re'ehu. Just technically speaking, a 30-year-old person is not friends with an 8-year-old. They're nice to an 8-year-old. They provide for an 8-year-old if it's their child, but they're not friends. There's no friendship. There's no relationship between an adult and a child. So is he really re'ehu? Is a child really going to be considered re'ehu? And therefore, if a person would give his only mishloach manos of the whole day to a katan, to a young child, a minor who's under the age of 13 or 12 for a girl, would he be mekayim his mitzvah of mishloach manos in that way? So before we discuss what Tzvi Pesach Frank says, the Kaf HaChaim in his commentary on Shulchan Aruch Tafresh Tzadi Dalet, Nor HaChaim says re'ehu means that a man must give to his friend, the person must give to their friend, a man and a woman both must give to their friend, and a katan is not considered re'ehu. That's what the Kaf HaChaim says. A katan is not considered re'ehu. The problem is, this is very difficult, because if you look, the Tzvi Pesach Frank quotes from the Aruch HaShulchan again, and the Aruch HaShulchan asks this question, and then he says in the bold, here in the bottom of this first paragraph in the second section, V'nirli ni'ez da'iti shi'yatza. He thinks you are in fulfillment of the mitzvah if you give to a katan. Why? Deha l're'ehu ksiv. The pasuk says l're'ehu. So we said l're'ehu might exclude katanim. No, gam katan v'chlal. Why is the katan included? Because the pasuk says in last week's parasha, Parashas Mishpatim, ki yigo shor ish es shor re'ehu. If a person's ox will gore another re'ehu, his friend's ox, so then you'll have to pay damages, right? And then all the details of the damages, fine. But who's re'ehu? So let's say my ox gores my neighbor's ox. So obviously that's re'ehu. He's a person who's similar to me. He's my friend, so to speak. He doesn't need to literally be my friend, but he's someone who's my contemporary. What if he gores the ox of a katan? Now, how does a katan have any property? That's a different discussion. You have to look at, this is what our kollel is learning in the mornings. We're learning Maseches Sanhedrin. So we're starting, I think I didn't see the first year yet. No, yeah, I did. We started Perek Ben Sora Mora last week. So there's a long tosis on Samaches Amad Beis in Maseches Sanhedrin, which is all about this, how a katan could ever have property. Is it possible that a katan could own anything? How do they take ownership? They can't make kinyanim, they can't make acquisitions. That's a whole discussion. But let's assume the katan owns a shor. He owns an ox. And my ox gores his ox. Am I chayiv to pay? Do I have to pay damages? Is it re'ehu? So the Mechilta says, yes. Chiyigov shor ish es shor re'ehu. If your ox gores another ox, re'ehu includes, says the Mechilta, it includes a katan. So the Aruch HaShulchan says over here, it's exactly the same in our case. Our pasuk in Megillas Esther says, Mishloach manos ish l're'ehu. It's the same word. Re'ehu must also include a katan. It must also include a katan, and that's what he paskins halach l'maisa, the Aruch HaShulchan here, as quoted by Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank. Now, there are poskim who note this Aruch HaShulchan, but then they add on one important thing. Most notably, Rav Shmuel Kamenetsky says this. He's quoted by Rav Asher Kleiman in his, sefer is called, Kovetz Halachos. So Rav Shmuel Kamenetsky said, you have to make sure it's a katan who understands the mitzvah, meaning, or not even the mitzvah, but understands the nature of a present. Meaning, if you give it to a, if you give my, I have a baby who just turned one, Yosef Dov, you give him a present, so he's not going to understand. He happens to be a genius, it's a bad example. Let's say you give a regular one-year-old, you give him a present. So he's not going to understand what's going on. He doesn't know you got a present. He doesn't know. He has no idea. But if you give my, my 3-year-old, if you give my daughter, my son, who's 7 years old, you give them presents, so they understand what they're getting. They're not chayv and mitzvos, but they understand they got a present. It enhanced whatever relationship that is, you know, the carer to the carry, and you enhance the relationship, fine, but the child has to have some understanding of what's going on in order to be mekayim the mitzvos. Now, what Tzvi Pesach Frank notes here, which is so interesting, in the last line in that same paragraph, mashma, what you see from the Aruch HaShulchan is that re'ehu me'akev l'ini mishloach manos. He says the word re'ehu is very, very limited. It means what it means. It's very specific. It's dafka. It means re'ehu and only re'ehu to the exclusion of someone who's not re'ehu. Ela de katan bechlal re'ehu. Okay, a katan counts as re'ehu is what the Mechilta tells us that the Aruch HaShulchan is quoting. But Aruch HaShulchan assumes that re'ehu is specific. Meaning, if someone would not be considered re'ehu, you would not be able to give them a present on Purim and be mekayim your mitzvah that way. Re'ehu is ma'akev. It's just a katan does count as re'ehu. There, Tzvi Pesach Frank goes on to say that a rebbe, someone's teacher, is also considered re'ehu. even though really a friend, a Rebbe and a Talmud, it's not a friend relationship. It's a relationship that has, the Torah tells us it has yira. There's a pachad, there's a respect, obviously, and there's also an awe, a fear of a Rebbe that a Talmud's supposed to have. So you're not really your friend, but he could still be called Re'ehu. The Rebbe Pesach Frank, in the footnotes, the grandson garners support from famous Rashi in Maseches Shabbos and Daf Lamed Aleph, where Rashi says, when the pasuk says, V'yahavta L'Re'echa Kamocha, again, you're not going to get into the context, but Rashi says Re'echa can also mean Hashem. Hashem is considered our friend. The truth is, if you look in the Ramban, Ala Torah, in Parshas Vayechi, by the brachas, HaMalach HaGoel Osimi Kol Ra, so the pasuk before that says, HaElokim HaRoeh Osi, or something. Me'odi Ad HaYom HaZeh, I forgot the pasuk says. But HaRoeh Osi, so it means who shepherds me. The Ramban has one day, they're fascinating, one day, which says, HaRoeh Osi Miloshen Re'ah, that Hashem was my friend throughout my life. A beautiful idea. Hashem Roi Lo Yechzar, meaning Kadosh Baruch Hu is my Roi, he's my friend, he's my Reya. Beautiful. So you could have Hashem be your Reya in some sense, the way that he refers to himself. So Avad the Kal V'chomer, you could have a Rebbe considered a friend of yours. So he's a friend, you're Yotzei the Mitzvah of Mishloach Manos Ish L'Re'ehu.
But also been a Rai, Shruas Melech.
Shruas, right. Very good, very good. That's what they say, the Lashon Reya is in Shruas Melech there too as well. Yes, Shkayach, very good Raya. So so another place where this comes up, which is important, because now we're seeing, okay, so Reb Pesach Frank is saying, you do need a Reya, you do need a friend, Ish L'Re'ehu, but a Katan counts, and a Rebbe counts. So does anyone not count? Who's not considered Re'ehu usually?
Spouse?
Maybe we'll talk about that another time.
I think the word
Re'ehu. I have a Shalom Re'ehus, Baruch Hashem. My wife and I have Re'ehus, but...
could you give a Mishmach Manos to... somebody, a total stranger,
right, so that we were saying before, that is an interesting point which was raised over here also before, which is basically, we mean friend, we don't mean friend only in terms of relationship, we also mean friend just in terms of being on the same page, a contemporary. So yes, he doesn't have to be your literal friend, but although some of the posts do recommend ideally it would be. Yeah.
So immediate family.
Immediate family maybe is a discussion in the post, given, very good.
Non-Jews.
Non-Jews, or is there ever a case of a Jew that would be similar to that? Does the person you're giving to, does the recipient have to be a Shomer Torah Mitzvah? Let's say the following case. Let's say you have a neighbor who lives next door, and he's a Mechal Shabbos Bifar Hesya. He doesn't keep Shabbos. He knows what Shabbos is. He's not, you know, he's just a regular, secular, not yet a firm Jew. So he's Mechal Shabbos regularly in public. He's not a Shomer Shabbos. So can you give him Mishloach Manos? Why do you want to give him? Because you have a great relationship and you want to keep it going. Or because you want to create a better relationship. Or because you know he's a little antagonistic towards Jews, so you want to, you know, balance that. Or for Kirov, you want to give him, right? There's many reasons you would want to give him. So you want to give him, and that's going to be your only Mishloach Manos this year. Again, all of these questions are assuming that. We're going to give multiple Mishloach Manos. But to understand the halacha, are you Yotze with that? Why or why not? So the Gemara in Bava Kama and Laman Ches tells us that when it comes to the halacha of Re'ehu, as we spoke about before, that Shor Ish es Shor Re'ehu, and other cases, the word Re'ehu comes to exclude Akum, non-Jew, Ovi Kochavim. So if someone's a non-Jew, the word Re'ehu, apparently, in certain halachos, the Shasta says, Re'ehu doesn't cover a non-Jew, and therefore, Ki Yigov Shor Ish es Shor Re'ehu, Re'ehu means a Jew, not a non-Jew. We know Chazal tells us the Gemara in Maseches Chulin early on, Daf Hey or something like that, the Gemara tells us that a person, a Jew, who's Mechal Shabbos for Hesia, doesn't keep Shabbos and publicly desecrates it, so such a Jew is not called a Jew. He's Nechshav Ke'akum. He's considered halachically to have the status of a non-Jew. Now, he could do tshuva. He's still a Jew. Af Pishachata Yisrael, who he's still a Jew in some way, but he's considered a non-Jew lalacha in a lot of ways. How else do you see this? So the Rambam famously in the Hakdamata Perek Chelek, the 10th Perek of Maseches Sanhedrin, the last Perek, is called Perek Chelek, a lot of Agadah, a lot about Mashiach. In that context, the first Mishnah tells us, Elu Sheishlam Chelek Olam Haba, these are the, Kol Yisrael Yeshlam Chelek Olam Haba, every Jew has a Chelek Olam Haba, every Jew gets Olam Haba, Ve'elu She'en Lahem Chelek Olam Haba, and these are the Jews, these are the people who don't get Olam Haba, and then it lists types of people who don't get Olam Haba, people who deny Tchias HaMesim, people who deny Mashiach, things like that. Someone's Hog Hashem Hashem Bo'os Yosef, fine. So there, the Rambam in his Hakdama, in his Perish HaMishnayis, in his commentary on the Mishnayis, in his introduction to that section of Shas in the end of Maseches Sanhedrin, so he there delineates for us the 13 Yud Gimel Ikare Amuna, the 13 principles of faith that a person has to believe in order to be Jewish, meaning if a person does not believe in the 13 principles of faith, that Hashem created the world, that there's Hashgacha Pratis, that there's Charba Onesh, that there's Tchias HaMesim, that there's going to be a Mashiach, that there's Torah and Hashemayim, that there's Nevuah, right? You believe these things, so that Hashem doesn't have a body. He's incorporeal. I don't know how to pronounce it. Not corporeal. So, no.
Corporeal.
Non-corporeal, but there's a word that puts it all together. Incorporeal. I just can't pronounce it, but yeah. So incorporeal. Whatever, close enough. I'm not very good with Yiddish, that's why I'm having trouble. So if you believe these things, that's the basics of Judaism. If you deny any of those things, if you don't believe any of those things, you're not Jewish. Says the Rambam. What does it mean he's not Jewish? So you know what it means that he's not Jewish? The Rambam says, the words, v'ahavta l'reyacha kamocha, no longer apply to him. He's not reyacha. He's not your friend anymore. He's not one of us. He's not one of the Jewish people. And if he's outside of the community of the Jewish people, so those mitzvot that are bein adam l'chavero, l'reyacha, don't apply anymore. So, does that halacha carry over to mishloach manos? So here you can go back and forth. Some of the achronim say, Reb Chaim Ozer has a tshuva like this, that Re'ehu is only darshan. We only say Re'ehu means a from Jew and not a non-from Jew. We only say that, or a Jew and not a non-Jew. We only say that when the pasuk has an extra word, Re'ehu. But when the word Re'ehu is necessary, Mishloach Manos Ish L'Re'ehu, it needs to tell us who it's sending to, so then you can't necessarily darshan. That's questionable whether you have to agree with that, Reb Chaim Ozer, because there are cases where you don't see it like that, and also who says that the word Re'ehu was necessary in every context without a drasha, you don't know. It's not a clear argument to make, basically. But one fascinating proof that, again, Rav Asher Kleiman, in his Kovetz Halachos, in the footnotes, he has, he quotes a Maram Malkum from the Maram Shik. The Maram Shik, or Moshe Shik, was a Talmud of the Chassam Sofer. He was almost a son-in-law of the Chassam Sofer. The Chassam Sofer of Moshe Sofer, famous Hungarian Posek, who in some way or another saved the Orthodox Jewry. He fought the Reform. So he had a Talmud, a star Talmud, Moshe Shik, or the Maharam Shik. So the Chassam Sofer, I read this in a book called Olamo Shel Abba, a long time ago. But the book Olamo Shel Abba is very interesting, and I totally recommend it in terms of Gishmak. I don't recommend it in terms of the stories that it tells. It's a lot of the hack from Hungary and Romania. Very interesting stories that don't get published in the article biographies, let's just say. So in Olamo Shel Abba, I think they say the story that the Moshe Sofer, the Chassam Sofer, suggested to his star Talmud, the Maram Shik, that he should marry his daughter. He should marry your daughter. So the Maram Shik said, that's very nice of you to offer your daughter to be my wife, but don't you know about the Tzavar Behuda Chassid, that you're not allowed to marry, a woman shouldn't marry a husband who has the same name as her father. So my name is Moshe. And your name is Moshe, so you're going to let your daughter marry me, even though her father's name is Moshe also. So the Chassam Sofer said, "Fine, if you're a makbid, you can't marry her." And that was it. The shidduch was off, and she didn't marry Maram Shik. But he was still the star Talmud. He didn't kick him out of the base medrash for that. So the Maram Shik has this amazing raya for what we're talking about in the following way. The Gemara in Sanhedrin Daf Mem Hei says that the pasuk v'yahavta l'reicha kamocha. What do we learn in Shas? The pasuk v'yahavta l'reicha kamocha. What do we think v'yahavta l'reicha kamocha means? Love your fellow neighbor like yourself, which includes all of Chesed and all of Gemilas Chadim, like the Rambam says in the 14th paragraph of Hilchos Avel, which is true. But if you look in the Gemara in Shas, the Gemara really only quotes that pasuk in one context, which is the following. Let's say you're killing someone. Misa's based in. They're Chayiv Misa because they violated Shabbos or whatever. They did some Znus, something like that. They're Chayiv Misa. So the pasuk says, V'yahavta l'reicha kamocha. The Gemara says, what does that mean? Bror lo misa yafe, that if you're killing a person because he's chayiv misa bebeisin, because he's obligated the death penalty because he violated a mitzvah that writes in the Torah, that's chayiv misa, so you shouldn't kill him in a very torturous way. You should do it in a way that alleviates some of the pain. It's a little bit smoother and doesn't torture him so severely. Why? Bror lo misa yafe. Why do you have to choose for him the smoothest misa? Because the pasuk says, v'yahavta l'reicha kamocha. Beautiful, heartwarming. How come you never darshaned about this in Parshas Kedoshim? Not so feel good, right? Not so lovey-dovey, you have to l'reicha kamocha. So that's the only place you really see it in Shas. Interestingly, there's what to say about that, but not for now. But the Maram Shik says that we know that if you have someone who's chayiv misa, who's mechal Shabbos before Hesya, he was mezana, something crazy, a terrible thing, and he accepted hasra, which means he allowed himself to be killed by Beis Din because he knew he was doing that avera on purpose. He was trying to violate the Torah, and yet we say what? The ahavta l'reicha kamocha. You have to exhibit love. You have to show care and concern for such a person. Is there a bigger mumar? Is there a bigger secular Jew than a person who was matir atzma lemisa that decided on purpose to do an avera that's going to be chayiv misa? There's no bigger mumar in the whole Torah. So says the Maram Shik, even so, we apply the pasuk of v'yahavta l'reicha kamocha. So you see, a re'a, a friend, a fellow Jew, includes also someone who's not yet firm. So you have two sides to this. So they do raise this point, but it's clear from the Gemara and it's clear from the Rishonim and the Achronim that Mizvadim doesn't mean that it doesn't mean they undo their mumras. It means they have to say vidui, but it's not necessarily a full tshuva.
The misa will be a kapara.
The mis will be a kapara. So during, you know, whatever, kita v'yad abank echad or something. Yeah, so they handle with this. The Achronim talk about this. Exactly your point that the Achronim do talk about. So either, we're going to come back to our question, can you give Shalach Manas this, not from a neighbor of yours, so either because Re'ehu is not Dafka, because some of the posts can say Re'ehu just means person, doesn't matter if he's actually from or not from, or because a Mumar, someone who isn't from, is Taka, considered Re'ehu, V'haft L'Re'ech HaKamocha, so many poskim, including who we quoted before, Reb Shmuel Kamenetsky and others as well, assume that giving Shalach Manas to a non-observant Jew will suffice on Purim, and again, assuming you're only giving one package to one person on all of Purim, maybe it's best to find a firm Jew to do it. But assuming you're giving 100, so you're not going to run into this issue, hopefully, anyways. If you look in the last source, we'll do this very briefly, the last source on the page, you have Mikrai Kodesh Simen Mem Dalet. Here he quotes a Taz. The Taz quotes his father-in-law, the Bach, who says that on Purim we have this mitzvah of Matanos Lavionim, to give tzedakah to poor people, two poor people over the course of Purim. So here the Taz says from his father-in-law, even someone who himself is very poor, so much so that he usually has to benefit from drawing from tzedakah funds, even so, chayv matanos lavyonim, he himself has to give, do the mitzvah matanos lavyonim and give tzedakah to other people. Why is that the case? So here, Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank has a beautiful explanation of the Bach. The Bach says that matanos lavyonim on Purim is not like every other case of tzedakah. It's a hechsher mitzvah Purim. It's part of the mitzvah of Purim. Lases matanos lavyonim, to give matanos lavyonim, ukedin dalal kosos Pesach. It's a mitzvah the same way there's a mitzvah there abundant to drink dalal kosos on Pesach. Va'afilu mishloach manos chayavim ba'aniyim. Every poor person also has to give mishloach manos. They also have to give matanos lavyonim. So Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank says as follows. He says that when you look at the Yontif of Purim and you see the different mitzvahs hayom, you can't think that there's a mitzvah of Suda and Mikra Megillah and drinking and all of those things. They're all mitzvahs. And there's also, Chazal say, and by the way, don't forget to give tzedakah. No, it's not just a mitzvah of tzedakah that happens to take place on Purim. It's a Purim dika tzedakah. It's a tzedakah that's supposed to have a feeling and a spirit of Purim in it. There's supposed to be a mishloach manos ish l're'ehu, and even the matanos l'avyonim, even the mitzvah of giving tzedakah, is not only a din in tzedakah, but it's also a din in Purim itself, which is what the Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank says. That's why the Bach says that it's a mitzvah of simcha. Part of the simcha of Purim is not only eating and drinking and dressing up and having a joyous time and dancing, it's also supporting other people. Giving tzedakah to people is the greatest form of simcha a person can experience, to donate to someone else and help them have a little bit of simchas yantif. The Rambam tells us it's the highest form of simchas yantif. And so the mitzvah of tzedakah on Purim is not the regular mitzvah of tzedakah, it's matanos lavyonim, it's something new entirely. It's a mitzvah of Purim tikat tzedakah, tzedakah of Purim, and therefore that applies even to a person who himself normally would not be chayiv in tzedakah. You see it on the other end as well. Usually we assume that if a person asks for tzedakah, you're supposed to check. You're supposed to make sure that they actually need the tzedakah. You don't want to give tzedakah just because someone asks. You want to make sure that they actually are deserving of the tzedakah, that nebuch, they have a reason that they need to benefit from charity. But on Purim, we know the Yerushalmi tells us, the Ritva quotes this, and Shida Mekbetzis quotes it in Ksubis, the Ritva says that the Yerushalmi tells us that on Purim, we say, Kol HaPosha Yad Nosen Lo, anyone who sticks out their hand, doesn't matter if they're really poor. Doesn't matter if they're really poor. And when I used to be in the old city on Purim, so the kids who were not so poor, they knew. They stuck out their hands. They were going to get money. That's all it says is called a posha yad, and then you can't say no. So they would stick out their hands. Okay, they also found the people who looked like they wouldn't know the difference between Haman and Mordechai and poor and rich. But they stick out their hands. They get money. Why? Because Purim is not about giving tzedakah. It's not about simply giving to a person because there's a mitzvah tzedakah. It's about enhancing the simcha of Purim through tzedakah. In fact, Rabbi Yosef Engel, in his commentary on Maseches Shabbos, Gilyoni Hashas, Shabbos, Yoram HaBeis, he says that when it comes to a matana, a gift, so you can't give a gift. If you look in the Gemara, there you'll see the context he's talking about. It's easy to make the comparison. But when you give a gift, you can't give a gift anonymously. Anonymously, a gift is not really a gift. Tzedakah, the highest form of tzedakah is to give anonymously. That's the most tzanua, most private way of giving tzedakah. It's a beautiful thing to give tzedakah, and the person doesn't even know you gave it. But matanos l'avyonim is supposed to be a matana. It's supposed to be a gift which enhances the relationship, builds the relationship. So the same way mishloach manos is supposed to enhance the relationship, so too matanos l'avyonim is not just tzedakah, but it's also something which is supposed to grow ahava, grow simcha, build the community through the mitzvah tzedakah. It's a different type of mitzvah tzedakah. And so he says, again, we don't paskin this way, but Rabbi Yosef Engel says that because of that, a person really shouldn't give tzedakah anonymously on Purim. The person who's poor should know who you are. Now, we definitely don't paskin that way. Why? Because most of us sign up for these stakas that are given out on Purim. Nobody knows who's giving to who. It's a big pot. Okay, that, obviously that's not the minhag. But in just in learning, you see the idea that this too is supposed to have a different form, a different feel of a mitzvah tzedakah, not just a regular mitzvah tzedakah to give to someone who needs, but to give tzedakah in a way that builds the community, builds the simcha of the people all around us. So again, mishloach manos ish l'reo, matanas l'avyonim, both of these are to build the spirit of Purim, the joy of Purim, the simcha of Purim, and ultimately the community and the ahava v'reis of the people who are celebrating Purim. Okay, we'll stop here and b'siyat d'shmaya b'linad. We'll pick up in 2 weeks. Everyone should have a wonderful day.
Amen.